Countdown is on.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the broader economy as trading gets started for the day. We're about 20 minutes into it, so let's ask the question, where's Wall Street? Markets are up, barely. The S&P up less than a tenth of a percent. Same for the Dow at 98.34. The NASDAQ up about a quarter of a percent. European markets slightly higher right now as well, under half a percent. And shares in Asia closed mostly lower today, those that were open today. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting this afternoon. The board will make an announcement on interest rates and the health of the economy. If only we could hear the discussions leading up to that announcement. Richard DeKayser is president of Woodley Park Research. He joins us live right now from Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So are Fed members, board members on the same page when it comes to the best way to proceed?
Yes and no. I think basically they're in agreement, and I certainly wouldn't expect any major discord at this latest meeting, and we're likely to see, I would even assert, a unanimous decision on leaving interest rates where they are. But what we are seeing is a little bit more separation in point of view. We're starting to see the so-called hawks talking about removing monetary accommodation, that is, the timing and magnitude of interest rate increases. And then we're seeing the more dovish members, those who favor being a little bit more patient, talking about the need to see the economy get up on its own legs before being too aggressive. So we're starting to see a little bit of a split. I wouldn't exaggerate the case. These folks do not get into barroom brawls. They're a very courtly crew. But a little bit of a division is beginning to emerge.
So which of those voices win in the end, do you think? I mean, what happens? Who, voices of optimism, or where do we go?
Well, I think at the moment that is likely to be the case. Of course, the big dog is Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, and he does command a tremendous amount of respect, and his position holds sway. So I think that patience is likely to prevail. And again, the question is not anything having to do with the near term, but when eventually they start to raise interest rates and how quickly they do so. So at the moment, again, the doves, if you'd like, are firmly in control.
And speaking of interest rates, we got word this morning about mortgage applications rising last week to the highest level since May. The Mortgage Bankers Association says not only refinancing, but applications for home sales were robust. I mean, very quickly, are people buying houses?
Yeah, they are. You're right. Both refis and purchase applications have been rising since roughly February this year. That shows the consequences of this low interest rate policy and the importance of maintaining it to keep this housing recovery that's just nascent at this point moving forward.
All right. Richard DeKayser, thanks for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
All right. Tomorrow, a congressional oversight panel will look at credit rating agencies. Those are the analysts who give healthy ratings or gave them to complex security investments, even though they were full of shaky subprime assets. The Securities and Exchange Commission last week adopted new rules to require more accountability from those rating agencies. But Marketplace's John Dimsdale says some in Congress are trying to go even further.
The credit rating industry is dominated by three big players, and Congress is considering proposals to inject more competition. One idea is to no longer require that banks and pension funds use a certified rating agency to analyze their investments. Christopher Whalen, who follows rating agencies for Institutional Risk Analytics, says that would allow more ratings companies to sell their services.
You will not have a de facto 2.5 company monopoly, as we call it, Moody's, S&P being the two, and then Fitch Ratings being the third, where a whole class of investors have to use one of these three companies. That will disappear.
Tomorrow, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee hears from a whistleblower who worked at Moody's. Reports say he raised questions about some of that firm's inflated ratings, claiming Moody's issued positive assessments the company knew were not supported by the financial evidence. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
In just a few moments, President Obama will give an important first speech to the UN General Assembly and calls on other nations to step up. The president plans to proclaim a new spirit of unity in tackling global problems. He'll use words such as partnership and cooperation. China today said it does support an American plan to balance the global economy. The proposal would shrink surpluses in big exporting countries such as China and boost savings in nations with big debt such as the United States. In Europe, the EU today unveiled a plan to overhaul the way banks and financial markets there are policed. All that as world leaders get set for tomorrow's first day of the G20 conference in Pittsburgh. And Ford wants to get into the Indian small car market. Today it unleashed the Figo, which means cool in Italian. The four-door is expected to sell for under $10,000. The automaker also has plans to export the car to other Asian nations.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Today, General Mills reported a higher-than-expected quarterly profit. The maker of Cheerios and Chex was helped by strong sales in the United States. Same true for ConAgra, which reported higher profits yesterday. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has the dish on why food producers are doing so well in this economy.
The short answer is it costs less to buy what it takes for companies to make the food. Mark McMinimy follows agribusiness for Concept Capital's Washington Research Group.
We are seeing commodity prices that are dramatically lower than they were a year ago in many cases.
And when they were at their high, says Morningstar analyst Aaron Swanson, companies raised the prices of their products for consumers. Now those prices remain high, even though commodities have come down. But Swanson says there's something else playing into the earnings at General Mills and ConAgra. Price-conscious consumers want brand-name products.
They want to be getting a good value for their money. A lot of times they turn to brands that they can trust.
And with more Americans eating at home these days, well-known brands from ConAgra's Healthy Choice to General Mills' Wheaties stand to benefit. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Officials in San Joaquin County, California, paid $500,000 for it. The Mobile Law Enforcement Command Center is like a travel camper on steroids. There's one problem with it, though. It's illegal to drive in California. The mobile unit was made in Ohio, where it is street legal, and for three deputies to drive it there and back 5,000 miles to get it modified so it's lighter or adds another axle, it would cost the department more than $19,000. The only emergency this thing has seen is officials looking for a cheaper fix. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.